Welcome to Swillcast, the Screenwriting and Linux podcast. My name is Dave. We're back for episode 7. This one is on the value of outside sources. Purely a writing show this time around. Not a whole lot to do with Linux this time. So, really kind of start this off, I got some personal notes on this, because I think this needs to be said, especially when we start getting into craft and stuff like that. It's very important, at least for me, that people understand this, because as soon as I grasp this concept, things became a fuckload easier for me. And really what it comes down to is that these are guidelines. Everything that I tell you is just a guideline. A heuristic, something that you can apply as useful and discard it when it's not. And that includes this entire show. Not just this episode, the entire show. Take what's useful to you, get rid of what isn't. I repeat this because I'm sure I've said this before, because it's directly related to my own personal experience and what I found personally useful. Your mileage may vary. I've been writing, screenwriting specifically, for about 15 or 16 years, and I spent the vast majority of that writing in isolation. Well over 10 years of that was spent writing in isolation. I showed some of my materials to close family and friends. I kept a very tight-knit circle, and I never really strayed outside of it. There was once or twice where I, sought somebody out online, and we did a little script exchange, and we politely critiqued each other's shit. But, I never broke outside of that shell until the last 2 years. And my writing suffered significantly because of it. I get the feeling, especially going back and reading those works, that there wasn't nearly enough progression. It just wasn't there. In the last 2 years, taking my writing outside of that circle, breaking what I'd been within and starting to look towards outside content has benefited my writing significantly. It's very noticeable, even in the last 6 months, where my writing has improved, as opposed to 10 years, over 10 years, probably close to 12 years worth of stuff that kind of plodded along very slowly. There were marginal improvements from point to point. Where I first see this as a major issue is within the inability of the individual to separate themselves from their work. You, as the writer, will always be too close to your work on a number of levels to be able to give it everything that it needs. A lot of things you can learn, a lot of things you can pick up. You can get better at nurturing your own work, but you will never, ever be able to give it everything that it needs. The first side of that is that you can never critique your own work. Especially as a novice writer, you will never be able to accurately critique your own work. I've met very few people who can assess their work and know what people are going to say before it comes back. Most novice writers, and even some experienced ones, are far too critical of their own work, or the flip side, they're far too apologetic or defensive of their own work. There's a lot of details in any story, even in short scripts, that don't make it down to the page. I'm hugely guilty of this, and I remember reading in Robert Rodriguez's Rebel Without a Crew how much wasn't on the page for his mariachi script. He wrote El Mariachi, and it was something like 50 or 60 pages. It was not a feature-length script, because all the shit was in his head. The majority of it wasn't down on the page. He got down what he needed to on the page so that he could go out and film it. But there was a lot of stuff that just wasn't down on the page. And even when you go through the full process of writing out that full script, not everything is there. I know in my own writing, I try to figure out, or at least have a general idea of what's going on concurrent to the scenes that I'm in. There are always more than just the characters on screen, even if they're not major characters, even if they're just, secondary characters or even ancillary characters. There's always something going on that's happening concurrently to what's going on screen. It may not be intriguing, it may not be something that you need to reference later, but I like to know those things, what's going on in my world, so that I have a better sense of who the characters are when they come back into the story later, what events have transpired that can be brought into the story later, if that's important. I also like to know what's happening in between the jumps. It's very rare that we write something that is verbatim, minute for minute. We compress time. In some cases, we compress a lot of time. I like to know what's happening in those gaps of time, because it's not like everyone just disappears and the world goes away. As far as the viewer is concerned, as far as the reader is concerned, yes, that's true. But in the context of the world, it's not. It's not even close to true. There's all kinds of shit going on in between those times. Of course, it's not of dire importance, because if it was of dire importance to the story, we'd be adding it. But again, it's something that we can reference. It's something that informs our decisions that we make for the characters when they have to make decisions, when we have to speak to their personality or the choices that they make or how they interact with other people, even how they speak. These are all things that are built based on what you can learn outside of the narrative that you're telling. And then there's what happens before the script starts and what happens after the script starts. You see a lot of these writing books that tell you to start as late as you possibly can. And that's good advice. The more shit you cram onto the beginning before you hit that point where it really starts to get interesting, the longer it drags, the longer you have to hold people's attention. You don't need to do that. Start it as late as you can, end it as early as you can, but know what's going on outside of those points. Know where your next point is if you had to continue. Know what happened before that point. For the same reason, knowing what happens in those jumps of time, what happens concurrent to the active scene, so that you can make informed choices about what your characters are doing. Because you have all that information, what happens is that you know a whole lot about your material that's not written down anywhere. You know, going back to Robert not putting things down on the page, you honestly can't put all of this down on the page. So you have a lot of shit in your head. And it can work against you in two ways. The first is that you're making choices for a character that make sense to you because of things coming up elsewhere in the story that's not written down on the page. And then somebody else can come through and read what you're doing, and it may not always make sense or work for them because of those omissions. It's information that you have that they're not provided with, so it can cause confusion. The second side of that is because you know all that shit, you may not see that gap. There could be a logical gap in the story somewhere that you're completely missing entirely. And because it's your script, because it's your story, because you know all those things going on, you'll never see it. And this is one of the best reasons to look for critiques outside of yourself, is because you will never see all the problems that are there, because you can't. It's thinking of in the context of electrical wires. When was the last time you really noticed that there were electrical wires going from pole to pole? Most people don't see them because they're transparent, because we've gotten used to them being there. Now you're going to notice them the next time you're outside. Just wait. The other part of this that I find that's huge is people who are married to the work. They spend so much time with the idea, they've nurtured it for so long, they put so much work into it, and they have a really hard time distinguishing critiques against their work and critiques against them and the work that they've put into it. They're not the same thing. The time and effort that you've invested to the product is not the same as the critique of the product itself. And some people have such a hard time with separating themselves from those two ideas. They are very distinct. And the sooner that you as a writer can separate those two, the better off you're going to be. You're going to be able to take critiques a lot better, and you're going to be able to get information from them far too often. And I'm sure you see it too, on far too many forums with people saying, I want critiques on my writing. I want help with my writing. They come in, they offer something, and then people start to rip it apart. And in most of those cases, completely justifiably so. And instead of taking those critiques, going back and trying to make something better, they get defensive. They start freaking out about it because, oh, clearly the person reading it didn't understand this, or why are you picking on that technical note that has nothing to do with the story, or this is my first draft and I just ripped it out in a night or two. All those excuses are horseshit. They're absolute horseshit, and they're avoiding the fact that the person just wants somebody to kiss their ass and tell them how beautiful and special they are. It's crap. You cannot be a good writer without putting work in. And it boggles my mind that people expect to just throw out whatever and have people praise them for it, and then get pissy when they don't. If you're asking for a critique, it's very important that you understand what you are asking for. You are asking for somebody to tell you what is wrong with your work. Now, hopefully it's a good critique and they come back with good points and bad points and hopefully give you some ideas as to what they saw as were major issues, how they may resolve it, possible plot progressions and story ideas that you may not have thought of. That's a good critique. But there are going to be people who just come and go, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And if you're completely married to your idea, you're never going to take it. You're never going to take those critiques and try to make your work better. The truth is, if your work is solid, there's no need to defend it. It will defend itself. If there are errors in it, if there are problems with it, if people have issues logically grasping your story structure, it's not there to defend. It's there for you to either decide, yes, this is the way I want it and I'm happy with it, or maybe these people have something important to say. Maybe I've missed something. Maybe I'm too close to it. Maybe I know too much about what's going on to objectively look at the words that are actually on the page. The good side is that the more you're critiqued, the easier it is to let go of your work. The more you take in the critiques, the easier it is to see the critical issues. Now, that's the key point. You will never be able to see everything that's going on in your script, especially everything that's going wrong in your script. But you can learn to find the critical issues a lot faster on your own. You can learn to identify them in your work a lot earlier on in the process and fix them earlier on. It's easier to fix an outline than it is to fix a 120-page screenplay, by far. And that moves right into giving and receiving critiques. Yeah, it's okay to give your mom or your spouse your script to read over. I do it. I've been doing it for the past 15 years. I send it out to friends as well. And yes, it's good to send it out to friends. But the truth is, you can't expect significant feedback on it if none of them are screenwriters, if none of them are writers in general. They don't know the format. They don't know the conventions. They probably don't read screenplays. They know what movies they like. But are they going to be able to translate what you've written down on the page into a visual medium in their head? Yes, a lot of people read visually. I construct images in my head even when I'm reading a short story or a poem. I create those visuals in my head, but not everyone does that. Some people take the words off the page verbatim and go with a structure and a story and a concept. They don't try to visualize these things and how they interact with each other. They don't know what to look for. How can they help critique your work when they don't know what they're supposed to do? You may be making huge formatting issues, enough that people may look at it and go, this is garbage, I can't read this. Not because of your story, not because of your writing, but because of your format and how clunky your format is. I've seen scripts recently, and I see them all the time, where there's a half a page of unbroken action text. You can't read that. It turns your eyes and brain into mush. It becomes this giant block of black text on a page. And somebody who doesn't read screenplays, somebody who doesn't know screenplays, is not going to know that that's an issue. You can't trust those people to find those issues. And in a lot of cases, all you're going to get back is, yeah, I liked it. It was good. That is not useful at all. Even if they're honest and say, I don't like it, I didn't like it, this just didn't sit well for me. In a lot of cases, they're not going to be able to articulate why it didn't work for them. They're not going to be able to point out where it starts to fall apart for them. They might be able to say, yeah, I didn't like this character or I didn't like this scenario. But they're not going to be able to put those pieces together in the same way that somebody else who studies story structure the same as you do is going to be able to. It's great to have the support of people close to you, but they're not going to be able to do much to help you become a better writer unless they are interested in writing themselves. There are a number of avenues for you to take. There are, local groups, film clubs, and those are fantastic. If you can find something locally, whether it's a writing class or a writing circle, those are great because being able to see a person face-to-face is very beneficial. You're going to get more information sitting down and chatting with somebody about your script for 20 minutes than you are from, giving it to your mother and having her turn around and say, oh yeah, I dug it. Outside of that, you can look to the internet. I'm not going to pimp any particular site because the truth is I really don't have a whole lot of insight on them. I frequent the Celtic site. I've occasionally gone to the Joe Blow forum. But for the most part, I really don't run in those circles. I don't see the point for me personally. Somebody that I can work with directly and talk to face-to-face is going to provide me with much better insight than over email or over a message forum. And even then, I would rather discuss with somebody over email than I would over a forum, because you're going to be able to get a more direct one-to-one conversation out of it than you are with a forum. People are going to chime in. People are going to put stupid shit down. People are going to have, you know, their reason for doing this, and then somebody else is going to chime in with something else, and it's very easy to spiral off what you're actually looking for, which is a constructive critique of your work, than if you're in email or if you're in a dedicated conversation. So if you can, face-to-face. If you can't, email with somebody that you either have a working respect for or somebody that you have at least a passing friendship as a writer. Somebody who knows stories, somebody who knows film. They don't have to be, you know, you don't have to go and seek out a known established screenwriter or script doctor or something like that to help you along. Somebody who knows screenwriting, who has a rough grasp of the basics, is going to be able to help you more than your mother or your spouse is. It's just the way it is. As for receiving critiques themselves, I have one piece of advice that I consider to be the best piece of advice. It is never personal. That's it. It's never personal. And even if it is personal, that doesn't mean that you can't learn something from it. Like I said, everything is a guideline. Everything is a heuristic. Take what you think applies and use it. If it doesn't, discard it. And the only guideline to that guideline is that if you find three people are saying the same thing, even if you don't agree with them, it's probably wise to examine it further. The Praxis screenwriting competition that I mentioned last week, the script that I submitted for that, I had several people read, and these were different types of people. There's the film students, and a couple of actors that I know and respect. Again, close family, friends, those types of people. And I found that I was getting kind of the same notes back from everyone. There were little bits and pieces that everyone had that, you know, this didn't work for me, or this character didn't work for me, or I was hoping to see more of this character or this scenario. But there was one or two things that kept cropping up over and over and over again. One of them I knew was going to come back. It was something that I was concerned about to begin with, and I wasn't sure if it was going to play right on the page. The other is something that I hadn't considered at all. And when I got my first critique back, I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. I can kind of see where they're coming from, but I don't agree with that at all. So I'm just going to leave it. And then the second one came back with that. And I'm like, eh, all right, maybe. And then as soon as the third one came back, it was time. It was definitely time to sit back and go back through specifically what they were talking about, reread it for myself, and reanalyze it to determine if it was important. If three people are saying the same thing and they are three people whose opinions that you trust to be honest with the work and be able to critique it in a valid manner, you really need to reconsider it. You don't have to change it. You don't have to apply it. But seriously consider it, because if three people are saying it, there's a reason that they're saying it. Also, don't show work to be critiqued unless you're happy with it. A half-finished pre-first draft is worthless. In fact, you know what? It's less than worthless. Chances are the majority of the story and the character aren't there. The dialogue and the writing are going to be rough in general, and it's completely unsatisfying to a reader. Either, one, it's not ready to be seen by anyone, so there's nothing truly compelling about it. There's no resolution. There's no ending, so there can't be a resolution. You haven't had time to go through and work on your characters and work on your dialogue and get it to that point where it's tight and it makes sense and it pulls the person in and drives them along. So there's nothing to keep you going. There's nothing to look forward to. It's an empty husk. Or the opposite. It's compelling. It's driving. You start reading and you don't want to stop reading. every page you just turn and you keep going. Well, that's even worse. For the same reason as the first one, there's no resolution. You can love everything for 60 pages, and then it's a void. There's nothing there. And that's terrible. That is terrible to ask somebody to read through. For the most part, when I find a script like that, and somebody's asking for a critique for it, I have a really hard time justifying spending my time on that. The reason is because, to me, that comes off as somebody saying, I don't have faith in what I'm doing, either in the idea or as a writer, or for whatever reason. They've gotten to a certain point and they're either stuck with the idea or they've lost faith in what they're doing. And what they want is permission to continue writing. If you've lost faith in the idea, my permission is not going to make it any better for you. It's not going to make it any cleaner, any faster, any more special to you. You have to want to write in the first place. You can't go out expecting somebody to give that to you. Above and beyond that, even if you have lost passion for a story, if you're halfway through the first draft, there's value in finishing that rough first draft, getting it to a completed state. A half-finished draft helps nobody. All it does is it takes up space in a drawer or on your computer, and it is just another reminder of something that you haven't finished. I've got enough unfinished projects. I don't need more cluttering up my space. The only, for me, there's two valid times. I was going to say the only, but I'm wrong there. For me, there are two valid times to walk away from a script. One is you've done all your prep work, you've done all your information collecting, your research, your notes, your outline. You've outlined two or three times to the point where really all you have to do is sit down and churn out that first draft. And it's not there. The story doesn't grab you. The characters don't grab you. There's nothing to drive you through writing this. And you know that every page of the script that you have to write is going to be agony. That's the time to walk away from it. You've told enough of the story through the outline and through your notes that hopefully that compulsion to tell the story is gone. So you've scrubbed that need from your brain and can move on to something. You can dedicate yourself to something. Or you get a paying job. If you're in the middle of a script and somebody else is paying you to write something else, you drop the shit that you're doing and you work the paying gig. For me, those are the only two times that are really a reason to stop working on a draft. Everything else should be taking a break. You should be walking away to live your personal life, or walking away to deal with your job, or walking away to deal with something else. Stopping working on a script and going, you know what, this isn't working for me, and putting it away, whether you put that in a pool of your work or you stick it in a drawer or whatever, and you know that you're never going to finish it, it's worthless. It's a waste of time, and chances are it's one of many. If you're halfway through, finish that damn first draft. It'll be good for you. Eat your vegetables, damn it. The other side is giving critiques, reading other people's work. You hear this around a lot, and it's true. Amateur, professional, good, bad, anywhere in between, read and critique other people's screenplays. Approach it like a script reader for a studio would, or how you think a script reader for a studio would. Come up with a logline for it. Come up with a synopsis and a basic plot progression. Mark down where you think it's strong, where you think it's weak, where you think things should be considered to be changed. Provide those critiques to other people. You know, just don't rip it apart for what you think is bad, but look for what's good as well. Think about it in the context of what you want somebody else to give you as a critique for your work. Try to give somebody else that and go above that. Put in the best critique that you possibly can for this within reason. I mean, don't stop writing so that you can spend full time critiquing other people's scripts. There's enough assholes out there working as script doctors and coverage services that there's no reason for you to do it as well. Write. Always write. Keep writing. But read and critique as a method of getting better. You're helping other writers, provided they don't suffer from what we were talking about in the beginning and not being able to separate themselves from the material. at making themselves better, making their material better. But it's not entirely altruistic. You are learning by reading other people's work. All those things that we were talking about that you can't see in your own work because you have too much shit in your head about this story, you don't have that with other people's work. You can see where those problems exist. You can see where the knowledge gaps occur. You'll also see the cliches that other writers lean on. You'll see the traps that they fall into. You'll see all that bullshit that pops up over and over and over and over again. Good scripts are unique. Bad scripts are not. They are a fucking dime a dozen, and they're all the same. Doesn't matter what the story's about, but they are all the same. For the most part, 99% of them are bad for the same reason. They're bad stories, they're bad characters, they're bad dialogue, they're sloppy writing, they're half-hearted. By analyzing these, by analyzing their structure, their writing, and their weaknesses, you'll get better at seeing those same problems in your own writing. You'll get better at analyzing your own structure and your own weaknesses. And that's the best reason to read other people's work right there. You get to help other people, but you help yourself a shitload more. Into the real world. Because chances are you're going to be doing a lot of this online. And critiquing online is good too. Because if you can find people that trust your critiques, you can get them to give the favor back in turn. You can find people who you enjoy their writing. You know that they have an interesting sense of story and structure. If you critique their work, chances are they will feel obligated to critique yours in return. And you can also create personal relationships with them. This is where I find the internet works best for me. This random asking for help within a forum rarely ever works for me. Helping other people has helped me immeasurably. But moving into the real world, there's a lot of opportunity there too. I find the biggest places for those that most people talk about are workshops, classes, and seminars. I think it's funny because when you work in a professional field, you end up going to professional conferences. So me personally, I'm a software tester by trade. I go to software conferences. But screenwriting, those are expos. Those aren't conferences. Those are expos. Or festivals. And I love that shit. As long as it's artsy, it's a festival or an expo. Not a conference. Conferences are for stodgy people sitting around listening to people ramble about generic horseshit, and you spend 3 days listening to a bunch of quote-unquote experts talking about common sense bullshit and passing it off as sage advice. Which is unfortunately a little too close to the truth. There are very few nuggets of wisdom that you find within those bland point of fact, this is obvious horseshit that everyone should know. But I'm getting completely off topic here. If you've got the community for workshops, classes, and seminars, they can be very, very useful. They can also be detrimental, because in a lot of those cases, you're putting yourself in a position where one person gets in front of you and talks for a whole lot of time about their personal thoughts and ideas and how they think everything should work, and no, I'm not lost on the irony of me talking to you about this. Again, they're all guidelines. Apply your filters. Moving on. The best part about these is that they're talking shit about writing. Exactly like I'm doing here. This benefits me, because I get to talk about all the shit that's on my brain, and I get to work out those things that I may not have solid ideas about. I have to figure those out before I can sit down and talk about them. I learn by doing this podcast. Sitting down and talking shit about writing, regardless of the medium, is beneficial. Everything should, at some level, be a dialogue. And that's where these things can fall apart. Having somebody sit there and just talk at you constantly and not creating a dialogue. Dialogue is key. You learn better by being involved than you do by being talked at. If for no other reason, because you have to make your own dialogue out of these are good to strengthen your own thoughts and processes. I was at a couple of screenwriting workshops a month or two back. And the writer that was there, very nice woman, has a lot of good thoughts on writing. She's also got some that I'm not a big fan of. And we didn't talk all that much in it. We talked about other people's projects and stuff. But what I found the most beneficial sitting in that room was hearing her thoughts that I hadn't considered, that I disagreed with, and helped me to strengthen my own thoughts and ideas. Even if you disagree, it's beneficial because you strengthen your own core ideas. The other side of that, of course, is the ability to meet other like-minded people. I met a screenwriter who was looking for some critiques, somebody very, very early on in the process. And it was good to get her script so that I could see what other people in my city were doing and provide follow-up on that. I met other people who were interested in more of the filmmaking aspect. They were in a screenwriting class because they wanted to film something but didn't have any scripts. As a writer, that's a perfect contact for me. I don't necessarily need to be able to film all my stuff. I just need to be able to find somebody who is interested in doing it that can't write their own shit. And of course, those people are networking as well, so you get to network through them to people that they've already met or that they're just meeting. And it's an odd progression, especially when you spend 12, 13 years working in isolation to go from meeting one person to five people to 15 people to being involved in all these different things. It's this odd water slide, and it's this exponential water slide where you can't stop and it just keeps building. I could stop, I could walk away from it all right now, but I gotta tell you, man, I'm having way too much fun at this point. Some of the most enriching and educational moments that I've had in studying screenwriting have been sitting down and shooting the shit with people about the craft. Not in a classroom, not in a workshop, not in any of that, not on a web forum, but just sitting down face to face with a couple of people and shooting the shit. Those tend to be the most enlightening moments for me. Those are where I learn the most, because you get to see other people's passion. If you're passionate about it, it shows. And if you care about it, you're going to have strong feelings about it. And that's where some of the best conversations come from. Another good place is through teaching others. I had mentioned that screenwriter that I had met who had her first script. And if you can mentor others, if you think you've got the skills to mentor others, go ahead and do it. And, you know, this falls to a degree under providing critiques, but I wish I could remember the source on this. I remember reading an article about siblings where an older sibling would teach the younger. And what the initial impression was that the younger sibling would learn better and have more benefit out of that relationship because they looked up to the older sibling and they had that personal one-on-one relationship to be able to learn. What they actually found was the reverse. The older sibling gained more out of the process. And the reason was because they were relating information that they had learned to somebody else, and they were being forced to answer questions and challenges on that information. They were being forced to think about it, to recontextualize it, to come up with answers against it, and they got more benefit out of it. They were retaining the information better, and they were learning new information better because they were eager to pass that information on to somebody else. That's fantastic. By expressing information, you learn better. You learn more gooder. How cool is that? I mean, it seems obvious to me because I can't shut up half the time about all the shit that's in my head. Even unimportant shit like how many golf balls are on the moon. Like, I don't need to know that. And yet, for some reason, that shit is buried in my fucking brain and I have to feed it on to other people. I'm going to make you Wikipedia it, motherfuckers. You know, the screenwriting format and film conventions are automatic. When you've been doing it for more than two screenplays, that shit is automatic. And automatic means easy to forget. Electric wires, pole to pole. They become invisible. You don't see them because they're just part of the scenery. Mentoring somebody and teaching someone new to the craft can help strengthen those fundamentals for you and help make you more aware of them again. I don't know about you, but I find when I'm learning, the stuff that I learned at the beginning informs the stuff at the middle. And then the stuff at the middle informs the stuff towards the end. Well, the shit at the beginning, I've stopped using because I think I've found better ways to do that towards the middle and the end. And then I rewind and I go back to the beginning. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that shit. And the shit at the beginning ties in with the stuff at the end and they become complementary. and I become better by going back to that stuff at the beginning. The refresher is beneficial for you. Help a new writer find their feet. They don't trip when they try to run, and you become a better runner. Shitty analogy, I know, but you're going to have to suffer with it because it's my podcast. I'm almost done here, I promise. Work outside of your medium, if you can. It's all storytelling. Everything is storytelling. You know, draw a three-strip comic or a three-panel comic strip. Write a comic book script. Write a play. Write a song or a poem or a short story. The medium doesn't matter as long as you're telling a compelling story. The basics are the same. It's the formatting and the conventions that change. You know, try working within another avenue of your medium. Try working within another avenue of film. I assume if you're listening to this that you're a screenwriter. So instead of writing a script, edit a movie. Go out, if you've got a camera, find somebody who's willing to, you know, shoot footage with you for an hour. Do a no dialogue, no sound, somebody waking up and getting ready for the morning. So from the time that they wake up, get out of bed, and leave for wherever they're going, whether it's work or, you know, out to meet somebody, whatever they're doing, that's not important. Film the shots that you think you need, and then edit it together. You're going to learn a lot of things. Editing a movie, sitting at the computer and editing, that you'll never learn sitting at the computer and writing. If you can, get somebody else to shoot the footage for you. It doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be something that you're planning on releasing. It's an exercise. Cut the footage together and create a cohesive narrative. This will inform the choices that you make when you sit down at the computer to write your script. And then, of course, watch movies. But don't watch movies. Stop watching movies. Start analyzing them. Pull them apart. Start with the writing. Look at the writing and say, okay, this is the plot point. This is the plot point. This is what the characters are doing. This is their arc. Break it down like screenwriters do. A lot of screenwriters do this. They learn from other people's examples. But don't stop there. Look at the direction. The director is telling a story too. It may be the same story that the writer is telling, but he's telling a story as well. He's going about a different means of doing it. The editor is doing the same thing. They're telling the same story. They're telling a story. They're using a different means to do so. Same with the actors. Go through, watch a movie that you love 4 or 5 times over and try to pull it apart piece by piece. Every single one of those things are in service of the story. The better you understand them, the better off you're going to be. And that's all I have to say about seeking outside sources. I wanted to go back and talk about my last episode. Episode 6, More Celtics. I went back and listened to it, and it wasn't there. Now, the show is intended to be off the cuff. It's very much intended to be me riffing on shit that catches my attention about screenwriting, whether it's about software for Linux, screenwriting in general, or somewhere in between. That's what it's there for. I got the info out on the last episode that I wanted to, but it wasn't there. There was nothing behind it. It was a very flat, a very hollow episode that was neither entertaining nor informative. It sucked. And the worst part is that I knew it. Wednesday, I went through, I edited down the footage that I had, I listened to it, and I went, you know what, this is not there, and I still put it out anyways. I had time to re-record it, and I didn't. I got a lot of excuses as to why I didn't do it, but the truth is that I was lazy, and the episode suffered because of it. This isn't an apology, this is a flat-out admission, and I'm going to try hard to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And with that in mind, I will see you next week. Spoilcast is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 Canada License. If you want to know what that means, go visit the website, swilcast.blogspot.com, swilcast.blogspot.com. Send me an email. I want to hear from you. I want to know what your thoughts are. I haven't gotten any yet, and I'm very, very disappointed. swilcast@gmail.com. See you in a week.